When I prayed for hair. And, you could laugh about it, but, when you're when you're 21 and you're clearly starting to lose it, 20, clearly starting to lose it, and I used to have a lot of hair. I mean, it was the 70s, it was kind of long, and you're vain, and it's Southern California and all that. And you start to lose it, you pray about it, and that becomes a lesson because it's either going to stay or it's going to go. And clearly it kept going. But the truth is we laugh. But we all have stories like that, right? when Jesus talks about how to pray, though, here's the challenge. He uses some pretty broad terms. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened to you. Matthew 7:7. Or think about these words. He said, I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. John 14:13-14. So if we're really open about it, and we think about those words, sometimes they may trouble us. Because we've had the experience of asking God for something, I'm not talking about hair, something we knew was good, and it didn't happen. And all kinds of thoughts may fill our minds. Either Jesus didn't mean that, or I've got the formula wrong. Am I asking in Jesus' name, so I'm sure to say those words? It's not how it works, by the way, but some people think it does. Or maybe he wasn't who he said he was. And he wasn't telling the truth. Or something's off. Maybe we just don't understand what he meant. We've all been in all of those places. I mean, for many people, it becomes this watershed thing in their faith. I prayed about it. I asked God. It didn't happen. Therefore, he does not exist. You ever heard that line of reasoning? We all have. So if you've ever wrestled with thoughts like this, there's a little story about Jesus, James, and John that may help. And if we can discover what Jesus is really after in this little vignette, that would change everything. So let's just jump into it. Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 45. Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 45. Here we go. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. You don't know what you are asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? We can. They answered. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. When the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. You can almost hear James and John rehearsing this before they go to Jesus, right? Didn't he say, if you ask anything, it will be done for you? Let's ask. Let's ask him for something good, something big, just for us. And hey, we can look at their motives, but honestly, you know, don't our prayers so often have so much more of self in them than we sometimes see? I mean, sometimes it takes us years to see that. And I can't be too hard on James and John for what they're asking. I mean, it seems like a kingdom-oriented prayer. In some ways, we want to sit on your left and on your right in your kingdom, Jesus. I mean, hey, we're in your inner circle to begin with. You know, we're some of the first ones. You picked us out. And at least they're asking. And they seem to be taking Jesus at his word, asking broadly, swinging for the fence, right? But then Jesus starts to talk about drinking from the cup he's going to drink from and being baptized with. And you and I know where he's going, but they don't know where he's going with that. Of course, he's referring to a suffering and death. But Jesus says in response, you don't know. You don't know what you're asking. There's a lot in that, isn't there? There's a lot. Years ago, there was an old country song, kind of a maudlin thing that said, some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. And some might just stop right here and say, well, you see, they weren't asking according to the will of God. Therefore, they weren't asking in Jesus' name. Simple as that. But the will of God is rarely simple. We think three-dimensional chess is smart. God handles dimensions we have no concept of. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, right? And when we try to wrap things in this neat little theological package, not only do we miss a lot, we do God a disservice, and what he wants a disservice. Why? Because we make it all about the asking. We tend to make prayer this linear thing. You know, input, request, output, answer. Just on that one-dimensional line. When there's more, we have to take another look at what Jesus says. First, he says, to sit at my right hand or my left is not for me to grant. Why? Do you see what Jesus is doing there? He is immediately bringing in a relational aspect to their prayers. is. A relationship with someone else that determines the answer to their request. That's where he's going. Remember, Jesus said he could do nothing apart from the Father. It's not just about something asking right. It's about someone. And here's where it gets really interesting, because clearly another disciple hears what they're asking. We don't know who it was, but Mark usually records the reactions of Peter. So I have a, you know, talk about the inner circle. I have a feeling Peter was eavesdropping and informed the others. They find out, they don't like it, and Jesus turns the whole thing into a lesson on what it means to really lead, to really serve. By the way, I don't know if you knew it, but one of the reasons we have been blessed with such a good leadership team at Peace over the years is that we have a little statement in our leadership nomination form. And one of the things that it states is that, and you know, we use this when we nominate people for, if someone comes to you and says they want you to nominate them, that is precisely the person you should not nominate. and that's important because it's God who raises up leaders. We don't lift up ourselves. So Jesus describes the Gentiles lording it over each other, and you can imagine Rome with, you know, all of its pageantry. And then he says, not so with you. Whoever wants to be first must be the slaves of all. He's saying, that's what I'm doing. If you think about it, you believe I am God, what am I doing? I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom. In other words, it's not about me, guys. It's also about the Father and His will and the Spirit and His way and knowing Him and serving Him and loving Him. So here's the challenge. So much of our asking doesn't start with that relationship. We think it does because naturally, you know, we're in that relationship with God. If we're asking, if we're praying, but we naturally tend to make so much about ourselves, our motives. I mean, just think about the baby boomer generation. You know, they're the greatest thing since sliced bread, and if you don't believe it, just ask them. And I can say that because I am a baby boomer. And yet, the greatest generation, the one that came before them, was the one that served and achieved so much so selflessly. I mean, but that's human nature. I'm not wanting to knock any generation. It's just a matter of, you know, we are that way. We are that way. And how do we work this out with our asking? Don't get me wrong. God wants to bless us. God doesn't want to put limits on our asking, but He is the one who defines what that blessing will be. And you see from the way God tells us to ask, He doesn't want us to limit our asking. So where do we go with this? You know, this isn't about putting a lot of qualifiers, making it complicated. You know, this is how we pray. Don't pray that way. It really comes down to heart. It comes down to love. It comes down again to that relationship, deeper, closer, more of Him. What was it John said? I must decrease, He must increase. And that's hard for us if we try to do it ourselves. We can't. But His Spirit can help us get there more and more. Think again about what Jesus is saying. It's not for me to grant. Talking about relationship, when he talks about serving, again, he's going to relationship. In each instance, it seems like if you just look at this, you know, one section of verses, it's like he's saying the relationship matters more than the asking. And it really does. It really does. And I think that's a good prayer to pray. Lord, let my life be like that. Let the relationship matter even more than the asking. I think this is where Jesus would have us land. If you think about it, this is where He landed. Father, not what I want, but what You want. And in that particular moment, it wasn't easy for Him to pray that way, but that shouldn't hold us back. Because He told us, if you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven, and He says two different things in the Gospels, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him, and give good things to those who ask Him. So it's all in the same vein, more of Himself and more of the good things that He wants to teach us. And if you think about Psalm 91:14, it says, and this is a psalm that refers to Jesus, because he loves me, this messianic psalm says, I will rescue him. So all of this is to say that if our relationship with Him is the starting point, it changes the way that we ask. Because love for Him becomes the first and best thing in our lives. And isn't that what He said? I am the bread of life. Whoever is thirsty, come to me and drink. And if that is our source, if that is our fulfillment, if that is what we're living through and for, it affects everything about our asking. C.S. Lewis once described us as machines that are meant to run on the fuel of God's Spirit, with God's love inside of us. Without it, everything breaks down. So the challenge is to live in that place of love with Him. And this isn't some theological dodge to explain away what Jesus is saying. I mean, the truth is, if we follow Him, we follow Him for Him. Right? Not just for what He can do for us. Yes, that may be why we come to Him initially, but the closer we get to Him, we realize, I don't want to be anywhere else. I don't want to navigate this life in any other way. I need you. Oh, I need you. Right? The old hymn. And if we follow him for him, he'll meet us there. It may take time. Sometimes we have to wait for God. Another hymn writer, Frederick Faber, wrote, we must wait in the wind and wet. We must wait in the cold and darkness, but wait for him and he will come. He does not come to those who do not wait. He does not go their road. If it's about knowing him and loving him and seeking him, then we will seek and we will find, because he's promised us that. We will ask and we will receive. Because our asking will be more and more in line with his heart and the things that he wants. And we'll be asking for more of him, and everything will flow out of that more and more. In spite of ourselves, in spite of our brokenness, he will meet us in those places. And if we knock, the door will open. And it will open to the face of someone who looks on us with love. A better, deeper, more fulfilling love than our hearts can hold. Love worth everything. May we pray. Help us here, Father. We can't get there unless you help us. But, oh, Jesus, thank you that you came for us to love us this way. You came to show us the Father. You said it. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. You came to show us his heart. You came to show us that we can't survive our very existence. Moment by moment depends on you. And Lord, you know how we are. You know our brokenness. You know our weakness. You know the places where we struggle and how we sometimes see things with self-will and don't even realize it. So, again, Abba, Father, we just ask your help in this. To love you, to love your spirit and your way, to love your Son. Jesus, we pray for more of you. You must increase. And where we don't want to ask that, because we're clinging to this world that is passing away, Lord, would you pry our fingers loose and open our hands and our hearts to you so that we may pray, yes, Lord, come in, more of you, more of you. And thank you, Lord, that you want us to ask for good things and that you so often grant us requests that would not have happened. Father, keep us from being discouraged in the asking. Thank you, Lord, that you love us and want us to ask. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please don't let anything that I've said discourage you from asking. Ask all the more. Remember the Epistle of James, the words there, you do not have because you do not ask. There is so much God wants us to ask about, but the truth is if our hearts aren't with Him, if our minds aren't with Him, we're not even asking. But if we're looking and we're mindful of Him, all of this ties together so that our asking becomes more in step with His Spirit and the answers come, and then that itself becomes affirmation that His presence is real and rock solid in our lives. Not that our faith is dependent upon that. Sometimes we'll be challenged. But still, again and again and again we will see it. And over a period of years you come to say, I know whom I have believed. It's a beautiful thing about the work of His Spirit. So ask. But let the asking start with Him. A simple prayer to close. If you don't feel like you really know Him, as we finish today, ask. Ask Jesus to help you know Him. He will. And I would love to encourage you in that if you want to mention it to me. Come to Him honestly and humbly. Admit you need His help. All of us have messed up. But if we come to him like that, that's the beautiful thing. He doesn't expect us to be perfect before we come to him. He wants the very opposite. He wants us to say, yeah, Lord, I need you. And if we come to him like that, this beautiful thing happens. He gives us himself. He gives us his spirit. He gives us a future and a hope. So, Father, we thank you for your Son. Jesus, we praise you for your faithfulness. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are Jesus with us, the Father with us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we worship you and praise you for being the absolute best thing in our lives. And those words could not suffice. You are so much more. We love you and praise you for it. And all God's people say, amen. Go in peace. Go in peace.
But it happens.
Thank you. What a beautiful.